Saturday, November 9th. My name is Bud Wiry, and you are in the shop. So unless you guys have been living under a rock, it is now 4 days past what has to be one of the most exciting and consequential elections of my lifetime, and Donald J. Trump has been elected president. So guys, I want to tell you that I started from the very first of the morning, even before the polls opened up, I was looking at it. I stayed with every bit of it all day long, going through every bit of data that I could see on it. I mean, I was trying to read the early turnout numbers in the different locations to see, you know, in the urban areas or what would be the high propensity Democrat areas, how is their turnout looking compared to the rural, more conservative parts of the country and area. And guys, I was ecstatic to see that this election didn't have near the problems as the last one, which I think is helping us, and we'll get back to that. But, you know, we didn't have, and every time there was a little bit of a problem, there was somebody on it. The Trump team had hundreds of lawyers in locations. I think it was in Pennsylvania. They had machines glitching. And Elon posted that he had people there and they were on it and it'd be back fixed shortly. So I think from across the whole spectrum of it, I think everybody was prepared to do the best we could to make this a clean election that would help eliminate some of the problems that I was worried about. Because I was afraid, and having watched a bunch of elections and seeing all the oddities that 2020 had, I mean, I was really afraid that if that happened again, it might push some group in some fashion, too far. And, you know, something else that we've seen, that now that all this election stuff was nice and tidy and we didn't have the problems, all of a sudden the Democrats are missing 16 million votes. And guys, I'm going to tell you, so I had that up, and you could look, the Democrat voter turnout since Kerry has been very steady. I mean, no major jumps, no way. And it went up 20 million. Or 16 million just for 2020, and then it went right back down to its historic normal level. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you, don't nobody believe that. But anyway, we're moving on. Trump won this election. The election was a lot tighter. It was a lot cleaner. Very happy to see that. And I think the overwhelming and then the decisive way the election was won, I think is really setting the other side of the team back a little bit, to where there's less propensity towards anger if it was close or if there was something to challenge. They just have been seeming a little more closer to demoralized, I think you would say, because I think it's kind of broke their worldview a little bit. I mean, these people think that everybody shares how they see everything, and seeing how overwhelmingly wrong they were in most of those regards, I think it's really kind of set them back a little bit. And I have a lot of stuff that I want to get into about the national election and some key takeaways that I think we all would be better for getting into. But I want to start with some of the takeaways from these Boone County elections that I've seen. And there's some actual positive stuff in this. So in the world of election and going and turnout, I thought Boone County did fairly well. So everybody always talks about the low voter turnout in areas and different things, but in Boone County, which would be a rural area, I mean, until a misogynist mayor, Matt Gentry, gets done with us, but for right now, it's a rural area, and it had 65.7% voter turnout, and there is actually 62,062 registered voters in Boone County, and that's out of a total population of 76,120. So that means really that 81.5% of Boone County residents are registered to vote, and then 65.7% of those actually turned out. And I mean, in the world of voter turnout, those are pretty good numbers. I mean, you would always like to see them higher, but I mean, I was pretty pleasantly surprised to see that 81.5% of Boone County is registered to vote. I mean, that's a pretty high number. And how they broke down by candidate was 57% of Boone County went for Trump, 41% went for Kamala, and 2% went for the Libertarian candidate or other. So, I mean, while there was an overwhelming majority for Trump, that scares the heck out of me. There's 41% of people in this county thought Kamala was a good option. I mean, let's be honest, in the world of candidates, she didn't even primary. She was appointed into it. And when she ran for president in 2020, she didn't get even a hardly a few percent there. She was just not a very likable candidate. And me personally, I couldn't stand to hear her cackle. But back to the Boone County stuff. So, like I said, I'm not going to go through the different races where there wasn't anything contested. Nobody needs to hear about that. That just count that up for the same old, same old. But so on the Lebanon School Board, we had a three-way race between Katie J. Sienowski, Tasha Marshall, and the incumbent Craig Parks. And on the last show, I went into a lot of that because I'm no fan of Craig Parks. I went into how they had the transgender stuck into the little girls' restrooms and changing areas and all that, and they all did nothing about it. Tasha spoke out against it at the meeting. But none of these things, when it really comes down to it, matters, because what matters is what people hear and what people see and what people know. And what a lot of people seen was there was a whole bunch of signs out there across town that said teachers for Park. So everybody automatically assumes that their well-intentioned teacher has the best interest for all these students, and that's who they would support. But in this instance, that's not the case. But as the statistics go here, we had Katie J. Sienowski got 30.52% of the vote. Tasha Marshall got 22.80% of the vote, and Craig Parks got 46.68% of the vote. Now, I've seen both of the two candidates, Katie and Tasha, both post that they were against putting the transgender in the restroom. So that ideology and that thought actually won in the race, because Craig Parks only got 46%, and those two combined got 53.32%. But a three-way race always favors the incumbent, and it would have taken a whole lot of campaigning, a whole lot of work, a whole lot of, you know, being here, there, everywhere to try to outperform to the point that you're going to best the incumbent in a three-way race. So I hated to see how it shook out, just because I was hoping to see Tasha win, just because I seen how passionately she spoke to the school board and how confidently she did. And I really, to my core, I think that's what the community needs in that school, because them children are being underserved. But, I mean, as the election goes, I mean, you cannot win them all, and that didn't happen. So the only thing we can really do is try to learn from what happened and come up with a plan to where the next time everybody can be more prepared. And what I'd like to do is maybe reach out to Mike Broach this week, who's kind of a local political operator. He's been on the show here at the shop before. And I would like to go over, because I don't think everybody knows. So you get like a candidate like a Tasha Marshall, to where she's got the right passion, she cares, she thinks the right way, but she may not be a very political person. I mean, I've never met her. Outside of actually seeing her speak at this event, I've never met her. So I think we need to kind of come up with a basic operating instruction manual for some of the people that are doing these races, because the landscape's changed, and it's changed on a national level and a local level, and everybody needs to get on board, because everybody needs to know what it's going to take to push them over a line. So if you decide to get courageous enough to throw your hat in the ring and run for one of these races, it's important to know what it's going to take to win it. So maybe we can get old Mike on here, and we can go over what it actually takes to pull off a successful candidacy. So that way everybody will have a little bit better idea. So if you decide to run, you know, you got all your ducks in a row, and you're doing it at a time when you're prepared to be able to put in the work required. Because I don't think either Katie or Tasha probably knew how much energy it would have taken to unseat the incumbent in that race. Now, I know that Katie's mother-in-law is actually a city councilwoman there in Lebanon, so she has more experience in the matter, and you could tell. I could see that she probably did the best at work in the social media campaign. I seen her on a lot of different pages, putting a lot of posts and asking for input from the community. And that is the right path and the right way. And I seen that, and I had some non-political people that I talked to, which I love non-political people, because when they tell me, like, oh, I seen that candidate do something, so I take it to heart, because that means that whoever the candidate is did what it took to reach people that aren't looking for it. So, you know, like I said, maybe we get Mike on here, maybe we go through that a little bit, because I think having a big conversation about that would benefit everybody, because we get these candidates in here, and since we've all not been political, we've not all been getting in the ring, so nobody really understands how to make it all happen. And I know that he's in other groups that actually work on that. So I think I'm going to say that I have a pretty good chance of talking him into coming on and having that conversation. So we'll see where that goes. But moving on to the next topic. So over here at Western Boone, we had one contested race over there in that school board, and that was between Kerry Douglas and Greg Hull. And the percentages on that come out to be Kerry Douglas with a 42.14%. And a Greg Hull with 57.86% of the vote. And then last but not least here, for the Sheridan School Board, we have Dan Fleming with a 38.94%, a John Hunt with 46.38%, and an Eric Nyberg with 14.68%. So congratulations to all the winning candidates and everybody else who ran. It's not easy to get out there and do it. And they should all be commended for their civic engagement. But now we're to the part of the show where I'm going to circle back to this 2024 election, because I so have been wanting to get into all this stuff. To start with, guys, so everybody knows how the Electoral College works. And if you don't, I'm going to give you a quick snapshot. You got to hit 270 to win. And each state, based on the population, has so many electoral votes. So you need 270 to win. And Donald Trump got 312. And Kamala Harris got 226, which is an overwhelmingly commanding lead for the Electoral College. I mean, that's really getting gun smoked is what that is. And now, something that's really blowing their mind and hasn't been done by a Republican since, maybe Bush did it, and then the other time before that would have been Reagan, but he won the popular vote and is currently ahead by like 5 million in the popular vote. So to have an Electoral College sweep all of the swing states, a 5 million vote, popular vote lead. I mean, what that is, guys, is that's an election mandate. That means you have the people's will behind you to do the things that you've been campaigning on. So if you've been campaigning to, you know, crack down on the illegal immigration and deport some of the criminals and the people that are in our country illegally, you now have the mandate to do that. You have enough of the people's support and enough of everything behind you. The wind is behind you. And we also took the House and the Senate in this whole deal. So we have probably a year, guys, where we can get some very, very substantial things done, because we will have the House, the Senate, and the President. And, you know, I say you have it for a year because in 2 years we're going to have a midterm and there's going to be a lot for the Republicans to fend off. So, you know, a lot of people go into campaign mode and different things. And I heard some other talking heads kind of talk about that same sort of thought process there. But you have a little bit of a window. And I think, so the last time Trump got elected, if memory serves, he had about the same kind of window. And I think that's when we got the tax cuts. And I think that's what set the economy on fire and lit it off. And it's more than just anyone. And that's kind of like the oil prices, if you guys remember how all that worked. So as soon as Biden got elected, they canceled permits for drilling new wells. And they cracked down some of that stuff. And all that did, it wasn't that the action changed it so much. It's the signal that it sent to OPEC and these others that now the ball was back in their court. And in the same fashion, we're now immediately seeing changes just from Trump being elected. So within a day of him being elected, I heard Hamas put out a thing that they were ready to start negotiating for a ceasefire. I seen Putin put out a thing that he wanted to start talking about this. I mean, it instantly, all of a sudden, all our world leaders are changing their tunes about all these things that they've been doing. And I think I seen today that they said a caravan that was coming across from South America here decided to turn around. And guys, that's amazing. All it took was for the people to stand up, put that vote out there, and we're already seeing the result, because not only do the American people on both sides of the aisle see it, people and dictators and other world leaders across this country seeing that Donald J. Trump is going into that presidency and he has the people behind him, and that is a strong position to be in. So now that we just got that opening act out of the way, did you guys notice the media coverage of this election? So I watched them carry on all night long doing this horse and pony show, acting like it was close. But at the same time, I was watching the Poly Market and Kalshi betting odds. And I mean, by 10 o'clock in the evening, they had Trump at a 90%+ that he was going to win and take it. And I'm watching that all night long. And all night long, the Poly Markets and the Kalshi and the other, the betting odds people, and then you also have the Rasmussen reports, those people were trailing right. But everybody else was just putting on one big horse and pony show so everybody keep watching the TV, because, you know, as you got way late into the night and they're talking about how they still have a path, it's like, no, they don't. That's insane. You're so far off. You are not going to make it. And the betting odds people, like the Poly Market, they're literally just making fun of the media right there. Like, they'll have a post about what the media is doing and they're just making fun of them. And so I've been posting and telling people that the Electoral College score was 312 for Trump for days. But I think they finally just now, like earlier today or yesterday, called it for, like in the AP and these different things. It's like, I've been going, I quit even listening to the media. And I think a lot of other people did too. And I, throughout the night, what I noticed was other talking heads and other politicos across the spectrum, and this politician and that, I think everybody else was watching them betting market odds too. Because I believe now, if you really want to know what the odds of somebody winning are, or if you want to read the tea leaves a little, or if you want to have any real, actual insight into the election, then that is where you go to that information. You hit the betting odds site on Twitter X there, and they have a much better grasp of this situation. Vegas has always been pretty protective of its money. And about the whole night, it was the best pound for pound. And I also like the Election Wizard, too. So it's, you know, on the X there, the Election Wizard. Like, they just seem to have not a whole lot of fluff to them. So they just had a really sharp, called this one, this percentage, that percent. I mean, it was pretty straightforward, factual, but it kept it kind of short. So that made it nice, too. So I was going between all of these different apps and programs. I'm watching the videos of the different things. And the only conclusion you can come up from all of it is that the mainstream media is doing its death throes because they're so far out. And like these pollsters, you had all these pollsters sitting there going through saying, oh, Kamala's in the lead by a +3 of this. I seen pollster out of Iowa say that they were going to take out, that she was going to take Iowa and she was going to sweep all the swing states. And none of that was even near true. These guys, they have nothing anymore. They have nothing to go on. They can't read it no more. The only thing you can trust is the betting odds. Those people are shills and they're trying to create a narrative while at the same time keeping as much information away from you as they possibly can, so they can keep this theater going for as long as possible so they can sell as much advertising as humanly possible. Because there's no need for that. When everybody in the whole world knew that these things were over and they're up there still doing this horse and pony dance and trying to fool the stupidest people out there. I mean, guys, we got to get past this. I mean, this is one of these things that I love to see it breaking and I love to see it being on its death throes. I hate to see everything that's had to happen to get us here, but I think at the end of the day, we're going to end up coming out on the better side of this one. And so now that I've kind of went over that about how the media had ran, because I'm watching this all day long, guys, and it is just, it's them trying to paint a picture and it's them trying to, you know, and the whole thing is really meant to just either try to get you off the couch to go vote or to keep you on it. I mean, they're working one side or the other all day long. But moving on past that, so I want to give a big shout out and thanks to a Mr. Scott Pressler, who runs a organization, Early Vote Action. He's a prominent figure there on X. I've seen him going way back to the 2016 election. He's been involved in it. But this one person has been on the ground in Pennsylvania since February of 2021, registering the people to vote. He was working hard throughout the Amish community to try to engage them into becoming more engaged with the voting process. Because you got to think, some of these Amish people, they've been starting to get encroached by this liberalism and this more authoritarian government coming in. And even though they've kind of been allowed to do their thing for so long, now some of these governments are starting to push on them. So Scott was working real hard on them. And I just got to be amazed, because I can remember in the middle of the night when he finally messaged out to Donald Trump, and it was pretty much like, "Mr. President, we have delivered you Pennsylvania." And I mean, guys, it was an emotional thing, because I see somebody who personally, nobody asked him to go, nobody paid him to go. He's got a group, he goes out there and he does this, and he put in so much work there, and it paid off for all of us. I mean, there's a bunch of people in this country that owe this man a debt of gratitude. And even though people on the Twitter know it, and people there, I'm saying it again, because even the people that are there on their couch that don't get on the Twitter and they don't look at these things, everybody needs to know that this guy was out there and he was doing that. And something else, if we're going to go ahead and let's go ahead and trigger our liberal friends and family out there at the same time right here. He is also the co-founder of Gays for Trump. So yes, it was a gay man who delivered Pennsylvania to all of us. So hats off again to Mr. Scott Pressler. I thank him so much. Normally I wouldn't even mention somebody's sexual orientation, because I really don't usually think it matters. But right there, I think that was a great poke to all the woke. And while I'm taking the Democrats here for a hot lap, I want to carry on to another pretty shocking statistic with this election, is Trump got 45% of the Hispanic vote. And that's a plus 13 from 2020. Now, guys, this is shocking. So Trump has immigration and deporting all these illegals on their books, and he got 45% of the Hispanic vote. I think in one county in Texas that had like 92% Hispanic population, he got 75%. So what's that telling me? Guys, the media is still lying to everybody. Illegal immigration hurts everybody. Can you imagine being a legal Hispanic and you're sitting there, but you're having to almost compete with these illegal workers, because both of you kind of got broken English. Of no fault of his own, somebody can't tell the difference between an illegal and a legal. And now those people are directly bringing down your wages, because you're sitting there competing, and all these people are just getting this, they're thinking to themselves, this is a low wage worker. That's what a lot of these business owners are looking at. And these legal people are having to suffer from it. And they're also having to suffer from the drugs, the children being trafficked. All the other problems that are coming from the illegal immigration. They're living in the communities that are getting taken over by gangs. But here, this freaking liberals have been trying to tell everybody that the Hispanics, don't want no part of this, but we're seeing in numbers in force this election that they also want these problems fixed. So I don't know who had that one on their whiteboard, guys, but we have a gay man helped us secure Pennsylvania. And the Hispanics help pull off the Trump victory. So if they keep voting like that, Democrats might want to seal the border and build a wall. So as everybody could have probably already expected too, there's been a lot of Democrats that haven't been taking this very well. So I want to end the show with some of the craziness that I've seen since the election here. So one of the crazy things I've seen, evidently there's a movement called 4B. It actually originated in South Korea. It's a feminist movement, and I can save you the details, but basically it's no men, no men, no men, we hate men. So that's the tenets of their group. So I actually seen women that said they were, now going to be a part of this movement, and they were shaving their heads because, they're going to make themselves unattractive and they're not going to deal with men than do anything with men, and they're going to have no part of it, and that's going to make us suffer. So my guess is that we just had as a whole nationwide, a lot of extra crazy women self-identify. So I mean, a big hats off because they're helping some poor guy out there by giving the sad sap a little bit of an advanced warning. But when you see these meltdown videos, you can be left to only wonder how broken are these people. I mean, because their whole worldview's just been shattered. I mean, I'm seeing pictures of them screaming, cutting their hair off, really getting outlandishly bawling, crying, throwing fits. I seen a 500-pound man with a white guy's for Kamala shirt tear it off and go prancing around as he screamed and kicked stuff. I mean, this is insane. I mean, how far off are these people? We really need to address some mental health in our country. And if you don't think that mental health is not a crisis in our country, all you have to do is look at all these videos, all these people losing their mind because they have been brainwashed so much. And that's it. So everybody was fine when all the media could agree with it. And that's just like the cheating last time. All the TVs could agree that there was no cheating. So that's the way it worked. But now that you got these cracks in the system, their worldviews are being broke up. I mean, they've been brainwashed into this stuff, you know, for, you know, 5, 10, 20 years or more, depending on, you know, who they are and what their age is and everything else. And now they're actually starting to see these things get fractured. And they're not taking it well. And as a country, we better probably start putting some services in place, because if we start implementing all the things that Trump are talking about, these people are going to become further and further unhinged. I mean, I told you in the last one that I thought there was a potential for some amount of unrest. I mean, just based off of their history and everything else like that. And, you know, I think if it was closer, we'd see more. But we did see, so there was a pretty big protest up there in Chicago. There was another protest over in Philadelphia. Now, the timeline fits, but I can't prove they're connected, obviously. But there was a shooting of about 6 cars from highway points in a similar time frame to the election day right there in North Carolina. But I haven't come all the way around. I'm not saying that one way or the other for sure. I'm just things that I'm seeing in the news, disturbances that may or may not. I mean, obviously the protests are. But as we're going, you know, some people are getting, and I don't think right there the first couple of days, I think everybody's still in shock. So I'm still kind of waiting to see if a little more of that'll build up. And also if a little funding comes involved in it. I mean, a lot of these other protests and stuff that we had had before, they were, you know, kind of fueled by outside forces. But what I'm feeling is that this time they were beaten so bad that it's causing them to have to think about it and you know, really do some soul searching on their end of how popular their ideas and their beliefs really are. And I think some of that, at least for right now, is kind of keeping them from being too energized to go do some of that. But you know, I'll keep you posted, and we'll see how everything goes out. But, guys, I mean, there's a lot of meltdowns right now. There's a lot of people losing it. But I'm also seeing a lot of, you know, a lot of Democrats that really look like they're, you know, taking a second look at it and trying to assess what really happened and how far off are they really with the most of the people and how they're going to fix it moving forward. Because, we see the problems with it here and Indiana about how you get a one-party system and then they start to sour and do their own thing too. So, I mean, you need a little bit of balance, but I think the other side of the party is going to have to come back a little closer to sanity before they're going to be back in the ballpark anymore. So, now that's my take on that, guys. And, you know, I thank you all for coming out and listening. I'll be posting stuff up on the shop's Facebook page there. And I really do appreciate you guys. I appreciate being able to come out here and talk about all the stuff that I see through the week. And hopefully all of us together, if we keep talking about it, can start to make a difference. So, guys, appreciate it. You have a great rest of your Saturday. Go Trump, and I'll see you next week.